Well, today we're going to be looking at the second half of what we spoke about last time as far as being fully alive. That's the positive, and we all like to focus on the positive, but there are warnings. And here you see, beware of counterfeit faith. And as Jack read, the Apostle Paul is warning us that we are free from human rules and restrictions in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I showed you last time about, as far as to protect real currency, we have security features on our Canadian currency. And these are the key security features. And I talked about, as far as different ways that we protect what is genuine, what is true. And this is a real practical way in our lives to detect what is false. And we do a lot of presentations as far as the police department, my time there. And the whole part was that I wanted to educate so people would have a way to detect what was false as far as different things in life, different frauds that are out there, so that I could give them and they'd recognize some of these red flags so I could help them. And that's why we went to communities. And in the church today, we're studying Colossians. And it's all about being rooted in Christ where we're healthy. And as far as physically, emotionally, and spiritually, the enemy, the evil one, when you're healthy, he has a lot harder time. And as your pastor, my encouragement is I want to encourage you, especially to be healthy spiritually and emotionally, your soul. And then physically, I want to encourage you. When we looked at the positive side about being fully alive in Christ, that is what it means to be healthy, that you are enjoying your relationship, your love relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you get up each morning and you say, thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you've made? Help me to be thankful and to rejoice in it and to live in such a way that people see Jesus Christ. Because that's what it means to be fully alive, that the Holy Spirit is in you, but you are actually responding to the Holy Spirit. So we looked at three questions the last time. And one of them, how did you receive Christ as Lord? And we studied it in life groups. And how do you live your life in Christ? Practical. So this is a very practical church. And we want together to encourage one another. How do we live so that Jesus Christ is glorified? Because when we're looking at Colossians, from the start, Paul was being thankful and he was praying for this young church and he was praying that they would do God's will and that they would follow Jesus on his terms. And that's the trap today, that we have so much freedom that we're actually enslaved by our sinful flesh. So how do you practically live your life in Christ? And that's what we talked about. And then how are you brought to fullness in Christ? How do you grow in maturity? And this is the negative side. And you see a negative here. How not to grow as a Christian. I could have called it that. Or a ways that you will never accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is, it's creepy, isn't it? Because you're looking through a negative. And it keeps you from Jesus Christ. And I've been reading some great books lately. And one is Seduction of the Heart, How to Guard Your Heart from Evil, and The Marketing of Evil. And today, unless you're not aware, and that's why I want you to be reading the Word. I want you to be praying. And do it in a way that works for you. Because we have freedom in Christ. But I really want to encourage you, the day and age, that you're getting messages all the time. Like I have my half an hour. But all week, you're hearing messages that are telling you to put yourself first. That's all about me, myself, and I. When you read the scriptures, the Lord shows us that we have an enemy and that there is sin and there is a need of repentance. And you don't hear this from the world. So we desperately need to understand that there's evil around us, within us. We have our sinful flesh, we have the world, and then we have the devil. And he's real. So when I looked at evil, I saw this quote, and it's by Dwight Longnecker. He's a British clergy, and he's seen the difference, the decline in Britain and in North America. And it's a slippery slope of evil. And he says, first, we overlook evil. Then we permit evil. Then we legalize evil. Then we promote it. Then we celebrate evil. And then we persecute those who call it evil. Isn't that true? And what's happening today? It's a post-truth culture where you can't even talk about things now. When you're meeting at Tim Hortons or wherever, coffee shops, people are more and more sensitive, especially if you don't have a close relationship, aren't they, on specific issues? And going through COVID, we're in a time where we've been squeezed. And often our flesh comes out and we react in different ways, and we become unhealthy. And this is evil as far as how we're attacked each day. As we're in a world, as far as the curse, and our body is cursed. That's why we decline in health. That's why we really need to ask for healing and to make wise choices. And what I've told you right from the beginning when I came here is that life is a gift. Remember that. Because nowadays, what do you hear? Right at the start, abortion, you can't even talk about that these days. And then euthanasia, the different things that are going out, and the changes. And life isn't seen as a gift anymore. Because when we focus on ourselves, we hurt ourselves. And the Bible commands us to love God first, to love Jesus first. And it's on his terms. And as Mark shared, to be a friend of Jesus, you're living in relationship that he is your Lord. People miss that. That it's through relationship that Jesus becomes my friend. Because I submit to his leadership, his loving leadership. He died for me. And we need to understand that this life is a gift. And we live each day to the fullest as we make choices, wise choices. So life is a gift, and to live life to the fullest is a choice. You have a choice today. You can either live by following your sinful flesh, religion. Because we know in the Bible what pure religion is, don't we? Pure religion, Jesus' own brother, said that pure religion is when you look after the orphans and the widows and you keep yourself from being polluted by the sinful world. And we need to understand this morning, that we are confronted with evil. So be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to, because it affects you. It influences you in powerful ways. And that's why you need to be in the Word, so you can recognize that, oh no, I'm in trouble. This isn't normal. There's an agenda that the world has. So looking at it, the opposite, the negative, how not to experience the fullness of Christ. So how not to be alive in him. And we're going to look at, it's not by religious activity. And we see the Pharisees in the Bible. They were about doing all these things. And you know what Jesus said to that? And they were religious leaders. And people looked up to them. And they had all these scriptures memorized on a lot of things, but they didn't live them out. And they didn't really even understand them. Because their children, and this is what Jesus said, they were children of the devil. So we have to understand that, not by religious activity. And it's not by spiritual talk or experience. And experience is important, but it can't be the highest truth. Especially other people's experiences. Even our own. And then it's not by religious rules, or like even better, restrictions. Because if the first one's about what you do, the other is what you don't do. Restrictions and asceticism. Like, remember the monks, that even Martin Luther struggled with beating himself and doing all these things. He didn't understand the grace of God. And he had to work through that. And he did, thankfully. So we're starting out, when we're looking at this, at verse 16 that Jack read. But it says, therefore. So what is that therefore for? And that's why we need to go back to what I'm really trying to get you to memorize. And this is, if you memorize two verses in the Bible, these are really important. To understand that just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Will you commit to memorizing this verse? All I can do is challenge you. Like John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If you don't understand that, then you've got to ask yourself some other questions. Because it's about responding to Jesus' love. He died for each of us. Each of us. And when you look at these two verses, it says, for so then. So you understand that it's about being. So we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. That doesn't even mean at the beginning that you commit to Him as Lord. You have a desire that He is Lord, and you want to grow. But that's what the Christian life is about. It's about growing in Christ. And it's about being. We're not human doers or doings. What are we? Human beings. And that's why there's such an encouragement for Maple Creek, that this is a praying church, and this is a church that's in the Word. Because otherwise, we can get right offside. You can be following someone, and they can be just like really so interesting, and it's a trap if they're not leading you to the Word. And so these two verses are so powerful. And then when you look beyond at 7 and 8, you could see, remember I said these are robbery terms. Don't be captive. And the Apostle Paul, Jesus is warning us to be careful. There's so much false teaching out there. And in the Colossian church, the Apostle Paul is in jail. And Epaphras, who started this church, he went all the way to Rome because he was needing his mentor's help. And we need this at Maple Creek, that we're building in each other's lives. Right? We're helping one another. We're connected to one another throughout the week. And when you look beyond, 8 and 9 is so key. When you look at 8 and 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells or lives in bodily form. And in Christ you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So if you understand this morning, and you really need to understand, that evil has no power in us as we understand our identity in Christ, we understand our authority in Him, and that we walk and we keep in step with the Spirit, and we experience a life that is God-honoring and is so fulfilling. There's so much purpose that we have as believers, as disciples in the Lord Jesus. So when you're looking at those questions that we did, how did you receive Christ as Lord? It's by faith. It's a free gift. And religion will say that you have to work for it. You have to do something, or you're not to do something, or you're to have this experience. I worked in fraud for 15 years. And these fraudsters targeted people in the church. And I'm going to explain a little bit later how they did that. They were very intentional. And they knew what they were doing. So in Christ, by His grace, undeserved favor, nothing that we did, while we were enemies, He died for us. He forgave all our sins. And that's the lie again. Are you fully forgiven? Yes. Past, present, and future. That's what the Bible says. So I don't live under the condemnation or the shame of the evil one. And in Colossians 1:22, you need to understand that the enemy will accuse you. So you're living your life right now, and just be careful, because the enemy is watching you, and he will accuse you. That's his role. And if we don't understand that, we really get discouraged and then go into depression, and we get doubts, and we get unbelief. So we have to understand that our debt was fully canceled, forgiven, and it was nailed to the cross. So how do you live your life in Christ? And it's about being. Remember, it's passive. Jesus has done it for you. It's done. The doing is in response to understanding the done. Do you get that? If you don't get that, then when I say things, words like obedience and serve, you're going to look at it and you're going, he's just pressuring me to do this and that. Or no, I'm not. I'm really not. It's out of a relationship for Jesus Christ that I'm even here and doing His will, seeking His will. And the enemy does not want you to do the will of God. He really doesn't. He wants you to be satisfied and just comfortable. And that is the trap. So being rooted in Him, being built up in Him, being strengthened. And there's a false strength that we can have. I remember someone in the fraud branch. He's an older man that I used to look up to. And he used to say, Lord, give me strength. And he'd say this all the time. And I already looked up to him. So I walked up to him one day. And I asked him, like, what do you mean when you say that? You know, when you ask a question, it's powerful. Like, Lord, give me strength. What does he mean by that? And you know what he said? He said it just makes him feel better. And he had no relationship at all with the Lord Jesus. So it gave me opportunities to share. And that's what we have today. We have opportunities to share in our relationship, in our being. That causes us to overflow with thankfulness if we understand what Jesus has done for you and me. And we understand the purpose that He has. And that's why I really want to encourage us all to ask the Lord Jesus, what is His will in your life? And I think about Aaron and Mike and how they've shared already. And it's so important that we share, but it's about that, what has Jesus done in our lives? And then you want to live so that He gets the honor. It's a totally different way to live. And it's freedom. So how are you brought through Christ? And as far as fullness? And we talked about circumcision. And circumcision is just a spiritual analogy. So is baptism. It's the cutting away of the old and the new. And what we do as far as with our life is that we learn that we have to live out by the Spirit and not by our sinful flesh. And these are beautiful analogies. And baptism is just that we're buried. We've died with Christ, and we arise with him in his resurrection, and that we can live in a totally new way. And then how not to experience the fullness, the opposite. And I don't even like talking about this, but I have to. And it's not by religious activity, legalism. Verses 16 and 17, not by spiritual talk, mysticism. And this is our feelings and how allowing our feelings to lead us completely. They can lead us to dangerous places. And our feelings are good, but they shouldn't lead us. We have to manage our feelings. The Bible says to renew your mind. Remember, the battle is in your mind. And that works a lot as far as even depression. That you focus on good things. You focus on things that you're thankful for. The mind. Keeping the mind where you're renewing it. And then it's not by religious rules or restrictions. And this is asceticism, and this is really the monks who deny everything so that they can appear or they really seek holiness sincerely. And they're beating themselves. And the whole point is that the scriptures show us that that is not freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's a hard lesson for us humans to learn. My wife and I went to the Tower of Pisa. How many of you have been into Italy, the Tower of Pisa? Have seen it? Well, you see it now. And you can see it's leaning because in the 12th century, as they built it, the foundation, it's faulty. And therefore, it started leaning right away. And each year, they're continuing working on that foundation still so it can stay upward. And it actually has moved. And they've moved it, actually, more straighter. And so the Tower of Pisa is an excellent example for us that we need to have a strong foundation in Jesus Christ. We need to be rooted in him and built up in him. Remember I said, that's not about building up ourselves, doing this, doing that. It's about just allowing God to live through us, to experience him. And that's why these quiet times are so important in our lives. So when we look at legalism, the Pharisees, we can see that they lived by all these rules. They had 634 laws. And it's very burdensome. And that they were putting those burdens on people. So what were they doing? They were judging them. They were harsh with them. And we could do that in our own lives, can't we? Very easy. Self-righteousness is a huge trap. I think it's bigger than the unrighteousness that we struggle. All of us struggle with unrighteousness. All of us struggle with self-righteousness. And this is religion. Man-made rules. And the whole basis of it is that it's focused on not Jesus Christ. It's focused on self. And rules have a purpose, structure. I'm not saying that. There's good things about discipline. The Bible talks about it. It's the ninth fruit, a sound mind, self-discipline, self-control. Do we need more of that nowadays? We certainly do, don't we? But when it becomes where we're judging other people, because they were focused on the shadow. Because when you look at 16, here's the therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. So it's about diet and day of the week, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon festival or a Sabbath day. These are shadows of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So we have the reality. So when they're just looking through the shadow, it's like that negative. You're not seeing reality. Our perception isn't always reality. But in this humanistic way of the way that we live nowadays, that we often think our perception is reality. It's not true, is it? Not all the time. And we need to check that. And that's why these warnings are. And Paul encourages us, don't pursue the shadow. Pursue the reality. Jesus Christ, remember your first love. Don't get lukewarm. Don't get polluted by the world. That's going to weigh you down, and it's going to hurt you. I've seen it over and over again. My heart breaks for people that make choices. But those choices have consequences, right? When you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. And we have to remember that. So pursue Jesus Christ, the grace. We don't understand God's grace, do we? So religion is really rules without reasons. Not biblical reasons. They're going by the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. They're not looking at the whole word. They're looking at two or three verses. It's dangerous, and it's done all the time. It's about doing instead of being. It's about having systems without substance. And that substance is Jesus Christ. And if you remember in your life what Jesus has done in your life, that you're now born again, you have divine intervention. That God rescued you, and God keeps rescuing you. And we have to be careful of a religious spirit. And it could be like somebody could notice in here, the chairs are wrong. There's all kinds of different things that people say that we look at and that we feel uncomfortable. Because it's about us. And that's wrong. That hurts us. And as we live our lives, I just want to encourage us that we need to be in the Word. Otherwise, we're not even aware of how we're thinking wrongly. And then when you look at religion, religion is beliefs without the Bible. And that's what the attack is today. And what I'm really thankful for, I'm thankful for your leadership here. They're committed to God's word. And we're not legalistic at all. But as far as understanding that some of God's word, those truths are tough. And you know what? You could bring in a lot of people and like just tell them what they want to hear. Is that what it's about? Is that what you want your pastor to be about? And once you get to know me, you know that I love you. And that's only because I was loved first by Jesus. That I experienced Jesus, and he changed everything in my life. So we also have to be careful of spiritual talk or experience. Mysticism. So this is basically when somebody comes and a fraudster, and they have all the talk, they can sell you anything, or they try to get you that you need to experience a deeper walk in the way that they are, and that they share different experiences, and it's focused on feelings, and then you can know that there's red flags, that there's things in their life that doesn't match God's word at all. And so we need to recognize this because they're very, very powerful. The health, wealth, and prosperity. There's some things that are just not true that movement champions. And don't be fooled, right? That's why we need to be in God's word. And we need to be in community, not about isolation. And that's what religion often does. It isolates you from the word of God, at least. But from other people also that want to encourage you in your life. And then, like it says, if you look at 17 and 18, where it really goes through, look at 17 and 18. It says, start at 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grow as God causes it to grow. So here we even see worshiping, talking to spirits other than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is holy for a reason, because he's without sin. He's God. And God's holiness we cannot understand either. But there's spirit guides. There's so many traps today. Worshipping angels, like different parts of the world, here right now. Colossians was a church that was on a trade route. So lots of people came, and they just weren't trading goods and services. They were trading these religious ideas. And in Canada, what a wonderful opportunity that we have, that people come here. But the whole point is that it's so important to know what the truth is so that you can share that in love. Because there's evidence of what Jesus Christ said is true and trustworthy. But you need to be convinced and confident. So don't follow those that, like, there's false humility. Look in this passage over and over again. There's so many things about false humility. Because they're not putting the focus on Jesus Christ. They're putting the focus on themselves. And as you go through the week, you will understand this. Because people appear humble, but you just have to look back. What is their focus? And if it's not on Jesus Christ, then you have to be asking other questions. And that's what I want to encourage you. And it's all about staying connected to Jesus Christ. Over and over again, Paul tells us, Christ is the head of the church. It's all about being full in him. To enjoy your life, it's about experiencing Jesus Christ more and more in our lives. And then just share him with others. So lastly, it's not about religious rules or restrictions or what not to do. And this is asceticism. And it's beware of all these commands that tell you have to do this. Even the days in the diet, that you have to worship on a particular day. Or that you have to eat certain foods. Jesus helped people on the Sabbath. Jesus ate different foods. Jesus ate foods that the Pharisees didn't approve of right on the Sabbath. It's not about that. We're free in Christ. So we have to avoid these useless rules and regulations that don't help us to grow in Jesus Christ. And instead, we have to identify with Christ's death and resurrection. And when you look at verse 20 to 23, let's really go there. Because this is what we talked about life groups. Because the question that you had, I remember Wayne, you having, and there's others. He said, with all these things that we put rules, self-imposed rules, that it doesn't help us to grow, and it doesn't help us to restrain from some of these sexual desires or different desires we have. They're not just sexual. So Paul says, since you've died with Christ, verse 20, you've died to these evil forces of this world. And why do you act as though you still belong to the world? And you submit to its rules. Do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. These are all restrictions. That's where it started in the Garden of Eden. Remember? Eve looked. Well, God said I wasn't even to touch. She went over. And that's often what happens. We put rules where the Bible doesn't even say that, and it leads us to bad places. So these rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And look at this. It's so important. In my life, it was the grace of God that I understood when I was sinning, when I was making deliberate bad choices, that I understood that Jesus still loved me. And his grace allowed me to say, this isn't good for me. And I want to have the best life. And I want to be healthy, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because what I believe is true. And that's why you have to test what you believe. So that you can be confident. You can be convinced. We're never certain because we want to be open. And we want to listen to others, and we don't want to be like the Pharisees. They were certain on what they believed, and they were certainly wrong, because Jesus rebuked them. And isn't it, if Jesus hadn't said it, we wouldn't be saying that they were children of the devil. Isn't that the harshest way that you can be criticized? So here, when we're looking at this, verses 6 and 7, this is what I want to leave you with. Take the time, please, to memorize this verse. There's lots of different ways that this will encourage us, this truth. Because it'll remind you that just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and it's a process, committing to him, that, Lord, I'm submitting to your lordship completely. It's a lifelong process. And there's two ditches on the side. You can see this road or this path. And we have the one ditch, and it's religion of self-righteousness. And then we have unrighteousness. And those are just traps. And that we have to encourage one another, right? To be healthy, to stay on the path, and to follow Jesus and to enjoy him. So we're brought to fullness in Christ by faith in him. The joys and struggles of life on this earth is given so that we can grow and we can connect with Jesus Christ. And then we can obey him. Right? As you trust him, you'll obey him. And then you'll find that there's no other way. So may you continue to be rooted. Being rooted in Christ. Being built up in him. Being strengthened in the faith you were taught. And then you know what? Once you understand that, then you're going to overflow with thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you did it all. You told us it is finished. It is done. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help each of us and to understand that there's evil all around us, within us. And then we have to make a choice to keep in step with you, Holy Spirit. And I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you, doesn't love you, Lord Jesus, that you invite them to come to you and you meet them where they're at. And you show us that it's so important for all of us to repent of our sin, to turn away from our sinful flesh and then just follow and turn to you. And you'll lead us. You'll feed us. And that's why you've given us the Holy Spirit. So thank you for your help and the way that you counsel, the way that you comfort. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for a world that put you on the cross. It was your love, we know, that kept you on the cross. You were following your love in your relationship with your Father, our Heavenly Father. So help each of us just to understand the privilege it is to walk close to you, being in relationship with you. Help us just to get over ourselves and understand that that's because there's an attack on each of us. Lord Jesus, we need to follow you on your terms. Help us. You know each of us and where we're at. We're trusting you. And help us to encourage one another to seek you first, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.